B62. Number 5B.
Yes. See, take very, very simple things. Simple things that bothered me more than 30 years. Where, for instance, our knowledge of the ideas of the synonyms. Way back in the late 30s, we had a list of ideas of mind, a list of ideas of spirit and soul. And this list of ideas seemed to be not at all coherent somehow, not at all of the same tonality. How could mind heal when mind is whole? You see, why can mind correct when mind is intelligent and knows all? What is there to be corrected? There were so many contradictions within that list of ideas. So many. And we naturally had a little answer just saying, well, the one is from the absolute point of view, the other is from the human point of view, from the relative point of view. But still, that was just kidding ourselves a little bit to get over the difficulties and not make too much out of it and get on with the job, and that was right. If we would get stuck with this question and throw everything overboard because we didn't see the answer to it, we would not have gone on. We must work with approximation and leave certain unsolved problems unsolved until the solution shows itself. But I was never happy about it. We were teaching the synonyms and the same old questions came up from the student. Thank God they were intelligent enough to say, I can't understand that. That contradicts. And I never knew the answer. I never knew the answer. I couldn't know that. But I was constantly going over the synonyms and over the synonyms. And only it was up in Asiloma for the first time, about 73, 4 or so. So that was how long? That was over 30 years, you see. Over 30 years, no answer to a question. But over 30 years, and suddenly I began to realize that I must put other categories into it. And then I would get the answer. If I put the categories into it, the way you have now the dimensional layout of the ideas, You know what I mean with the dimensional layout of the ideas with those 7 categories, then the problem solved itself. Then you could see, well, that's quite clear because these ideas should not be on a list on one in one column. In a list in one column. They are not that way. They are ideas characterizing very different levels, very different attitudes. So from that point on, it was I was just teaching that class when it came. At first, perhaps it was a bit crude, but very soon, within a short time, I just could put that whole list into what we have now as the dimensional. But you can see 30 years passed by, but the question that I have asked was right. Was right. And if the question is right, is fundamental, then there is a possibility that you get an answer. Or, I remember way back, 1941 and 42, it was, that I was studying the synonyms, and I felt, yes, but the synonyms are not just a stagnant thing. There it must be an operation in it. The form must be in it. Mind must be not only the word, as bang word, but there must be a dynamics in it. Must be a Christ in it, Christianity in it, and a science in it. And so I thought, well, that's easy. I go through the list of ideas and just feel out which ideas have more the tone of the world, which have more tone of the Christ and Christianity and science. And I spent the whole holiday on doing that. It was all for nothing. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I just could see that grammar the language alone can't do it. There must be something else about it. And I could never solve that question. What is mind as the world? What is mind as the Christ? I could do it out of my own sense. That I could do, but I didn't trust that. I said, this is not science. This is not science revealing it. If I feel, well, mind in the world is this, and mind in the Christ is this, and mind in the Christianity is this and that. So I always felt I should get it from science, from the textbook, from science. I never knew how to do it. I never knew how to do it. It took me until about 66, 67 or so, well, that's another 25 years, until suddenly I found, came to me and said, well, you must not always think in the same old system. You must once approach such a question is different. Let me put it this way. When we did the analysis of the synonyms in regard to what characterizes the term synonym, I said, this is another category, another question, than to ask how the synonyms operate. That's something very different. To ask what is the definition or the meaning of a synonym and what is the operation of it. Therefore, I cannot go through the textbook with all the references on mind and find that out with the same attitude as I studied the synonyms. I must put a completely different question to the synonym. And when I saw that, I have to go through the synonyms, not asking how is the term defined through ideas, but to say, what does mind do in the whole subject presented in that paragraph? What is the office of mind in the subject presented in the paragraph? Not asking about the definition of mind, the characteristics of mind, but about the office, because the office is what you do, how you operate. And therefore I began to approach it this way and said, oh gosh, that may be the answer. So I began to study the synonyms, each one, by asking what is the office of mind in a paragraph, not how is mind characterized it's by itself. What is the intrinsic nature of mind itself? But what is the office that mind has to fulfill in a certain situation, in a certain metaphysical situation? And so I went through that and I was wondering if that works. And it was so clear that in every chapter she would have a different subject to which she applied mind. The subject was different, so that mind has in every chapter a different office to fulfill. It's still the same mind. Still the same mind that is power, that is creative, that is love, that is intelligent and active and so on. But what is the office that mind has to fulfill in a given metaphysical proposition? So that one found out that in every chapter, mind has a different office. And it didn't repeat itself anymore. Whereas the original way of asking what is mind, as we did with the synonym study, there you can see that is answered all over the place in every chapter. You have the power of mind in many chapters. Or that mind is intelligence you have in many chapters. You see, not only in one chapter. But whereas when you ask the operational sense, the office sense of the four, it's quite different. That each chapter only brings out really one office of each synonymous term. And that was quite a job. It was quite a revelation in practice. It was only taking the old system, what was there, and asking a new question. A question that was appropriate to the subject. And so you have in the synonym book, you have the result of it over at the end, you have the mind matrix and the spirit matrix and the soul matrix and so on. Out of the text, it's not my inspiration, it's out of the text and proved out of the text. So we can you see that science reveals the moment we have a cultured sense of those categories which we understand already up to now, each one of us, that is the ground in which the seed can fall and a new vision can come up. But it's always a new vision about the old system. Not something that is outside the textbook. It may be a time, or should be a time, if being is infinite, that there will be a time where a completely new revelation will come. But at the moment we have to to culture what we have. Yes, why did we come to this subject? Because you said, yeah. Is that clear? Is that clear? Yeah. Good.
Regarding science revealed, looking back at 1,000-year period, where would you say that started? In which 1,000-year period would you say that science revealed?
Well, only in the age of science. Before you had science, you couldn't have it, huh? So we didn't have science until the 6,000-year period.
And yet Mr. Eddy says that Jesus, the man, was a great son.
Yeah, that's good that you bring up that. Because when we went through the 1,000-year periods, you know, we are always coming to the 5,000-year period. That is always a tricky thing because of that Jesus proposition. Yeah. See, Jesus was a natural divine scientist, so what more can you have than a natural divine scientist? He was the prototype of a scientist. He was he demonstrated really the whole science. So, when we come in the ascending way to Jesus or to the 5,000-year period, we were not asking really what is Jesus by himself, but what was Jesus' impact on the age of the 5,000-year period. And where was the 5,000-year period? The 5,000-year period is the period of life, the demonstration of life. Well, that's not true if we look at Jesus. He demonstrated truth and love. But for the period, he was that which characterized a period, and that was life. I bring you life, and I bring it more abundantly. God is now the Father, is no more Elohim, is no more Jehovah, is no more the Old Testament Father. He's now God, Father. So he brought in as an accentuation for the world the tone of life. You see? But he himself individually, he was way above that individually. But as the development of the idea for the world, his accentuation is on life. So if we define him or have defined him in the 5,000-year period as that Jesus was showing the how divinity was embracing humanity. We only were, in that sentence, Mrs. Eddy was only characterizing him for the world at the new period of life. In other places, Mrs. Eddy characterizes Jesus quite different. He's the divine scientist. He's not, like in the glossary, the highest human concept. The highest corporeal concept of the divine idea. Well, in other places, Jesus is the Christ. That's not the corporeal concept. So we have to be very clear that we don't generalize too much, you see, that especially when we come to the main Jesus, who really incorporated life, truth, and love in one person, that we do not devaluate him as what he was, when we say, well, that's the fifth spirit, that wasn't the sixth and the seventh. He said, I know the science, but I can't give it to you. I will have to come again, you know, the Christ will have to come and teach you all things, but now you are not ready to it. So, we must be pure about that situation so that we don't devaluate Jesus' contribution, but we must see the world is interested in being saved. The world is not interested to say Jesus saved himself. He saved himself from the cross, from the grave, and from the world through his ascension. That's a wonderful example. But the world is interested, how can the world, with the world's consciousness that the world has, get on and get higher and save itself. Therefore, then we must always see that there is an accentuation. Did I make myself clear? Because I had difficulty at home last year because of that very quote in Apocalypse, you see, that they thought I was running down Jesus, which I was not. I was only showing that the 5,000-year period is not our 1,000-year period, and that we cannot go back and make the 5,000-year period our ideal. That would be wrong. And Mrs. Eddy says so. After defining Jesus as the coincidence of the divinity embracing humanity, she goes to woman, and that woman is idea, and is now the correspondence of principle and idea, and no more of divinity and humanity. Is that clear?
That was the metaphysical era, and as it was a metaphysical era, science is not able to.
Yes, people, even if Jesus would have liked to teach the students the science, they couldn't have grasped it. See, they could only grasp, what they could grasp was what they could see. And Thomas could see and feel that Jesus was resurrected. Then he began to believe. So at that period, the idea could only be seen through the physical. So blind get healed, and the Lazarus raised, and so on. That which the physical senses could comprehend, that was accepted. They would never have accepted the science. How could they? How could these people accept science? We always forget what the cultural situation was in the year of Jesus, where practically only a few people who had a Greek influence and a Greek culture, a few people, those wise people that were sitting perhaps in Alexandria in the library there, the biggest library there, perhaps these people were thinking a little bit about abstract things, about geometry and so on. But the people as such, the world as such, at that time was not educated in abstract thinking. It was just not possible. nor was science yet has come to that refinement that it could be taught to everybody. Think of it, that even calculating, all enumeration table was foreign to most of them. Not even that. So we always forget different time. We always think, well, what we know, they knew. No. What we experienced, they experienced. No, not at all. They are simple people with some sheep and camels and the tents and that's not all. Sitting around the fire at night and talking and talking and talking. They did not read, they did not study, they could not read. See, this is not... And it's only 2,000 years ago. Why should we then have the same purpose in life, the same attitude to life, the same attitude to the world as these people? Why? There's no reason for that. Yeah, I want to, because of that, you know, we had there in the Apocalypse where she said that John saw the human and divine coincidence. There's a human and divine coincidence shown in the man Jesus. See, you could say, well, that's not true. Jesus at the resurrection and ascension, or at the ascension, was not showing divinity embracing humanity. He was showing the spiritual idea, free from body. But what she wants to say is, what was the general impact of Jesus to that age? How can we focus, so to say, his mission? And right afterwards, she has that other rendering, where she said, but the woman in the Apocalypse, or instead of the man Jesus, yet the woman in the Apocalypse, illustrates the coincidence. See, she uses the same term, coincidence, in the paragraph above with Jesus, coincidence of divine human, and now with woman, it's the coincidence of what? Of divine principle and divine idea. Isn't that a terrific difference? So, a terrific difference. And if we think that we should follow Jesus because he said, follow me, and go back and say, this is our ideal, that the divine embraces, what is it, that divinity embracing humanity, that should be our ideal, we are on the wrong track. The ideal of 2,000 years ago is not our ideal. Just because Jesus was ahead of us, he himself was ahead of us, we can't say that we should go back to his age and have the ideal of that which that age could stomach and swallow. They couldn't stomach and swallow more. And Jesus told them, said, I will bring you another comforter. You can't take what I know. Where were we? We were talking, oh yes. We were about the form of understanding, huh? Now, so we have only done the form of understanding through the 1,000-year period, but I think it's practical, you know, so that we do not go astray with our ideal today. That the ideal is not the ideal of the 4,000 or of 5,000-year period, but of the 6,000-year period. But there is always a but to it. Always a warning, so to say. Just because we live calendar-wise in the 6,000-year period, now in 1984, that does not mean that our consciousness is there. Our consciousness can be in the 3,000 period, in the tribal history. And our whole understanding is concentrated constantly on my family, my husband, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my aunt, my great aunt, my great grandmother, my, and that's all. We have to be careful that our whole consciousness is not actually in the 3,000-year period, or that our consciousness is not in the 4,000-year period, where we just are constantly saying, now what lies behind an object? How shall I translate the object of sense for the ideas? How shall I do that? Or that we are not in the 5,000-year period, where we think the highest is, the purpose of everything is to embrace humanity, divinity embracing humanity, so that we have a greater humanity. That's all very nice, but that's not our job. Our job is the 6,000-year period. The woman coming in the very soon is the 7,000-year period, where it says, our job is to see the coincidence of principle and idea. Not the coincidence of the idea with a human body or with humanity. It's the principle's idea that is today the main object. So that our whole consciousness is directed constantly towards that one goal. How can I see principle in its scientific idea? Therefore, that principle as a system of ideas, and operating as a system of ideas in an infinite calculus, culturing really the categories of being, so that I really get the new consciousness that is not at all interested in in the human, because principle only has idea and only knows idea, nothing else. So these are the points that we have to be clear about it, or we will constantly fall back. So just because we live in this year, we may not at all live in the consciousness of our age. And that's why it is necessary to see these stages, because then we have a measuring rod where we are. We must have somewhere a criteria or a criterion where we can measure where we are. Adam, where art thou? Where is thy consciousness? Is thy consciousness in the 3,000-year period? Or even in the 2,000-year period, where you just believe anything what is said, all the sagas and legends, where you believe anything that is said, every teaching that is given, where you believe just all old stuff, just because it is said or just because it's printed black on white. You know, we say at home, paper is very patient. Do you have an expression like that? That paper is very patient. You can print on it whatever you like, it sticks it. It sticks it out. Because it's printed black on white, it doesn't need to be true. So that's the 2,000-year period. Sometimes we are right back there. You know? Right back there. Okay.